Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the conclusion of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, raised his hands, and blessed them. As he blessed them, he parted from them and was taken up into heaven. They did him homage and then returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So, if I hadn't sold off all of my power tools when I entered the seminary, I would have brought them with me as props for today's homily, because I think they're helpful. But really, looking back many, many years ago, I never had that many power tools, but I worked for a time with a good friend of mine who did construction and building, but also fine carpentry. He does both, continues to do so, and got to use lots of power tools, not just table saws, but planers and joiners and routers and special sanders and things I've forgotten about. Power tools. What do power tools have to do with particularly the event in Jesus' life that we celebrate today, his ascension? Well, first of all, it's to maybe just go back and look at what happened and how it unfolded. Because Jesus said something at the Last Supper before he died about how it was better for him to go away. And he's particularly talking about his ascension into heaven, better for us. And so in that regard, thinking about true of all of humanity, but for you and I here this morning. And we're told in our first reading after his resurrection, as he's strengthening the faith of the disciples, as they're growing in their understanding of not only who Jesus is, but God's plan. We're told that he talked to them about the kingdom. You might recall in the other gospel account, Jesus, among other things, tells them, "What about the kingdom of God? That all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." All authority. They realize, they come to realize he is the Messiah. As Jews have the one promised for hundreds of years. He is that son of David that God promised, whose kingdom will have no end, whose kingdom will reign not just over all of Israel, but over all nations, and that he'll come and restore Israel and unite the tribes of Israel and bring back all those that have been scattered and exiled, but also over every other nation. And so, not surprisingly so, we hear as well then that his disciples said, "Okay, is that going to happen now?" And Jesus, as you heard, as we heard, said, that moment is known only, the fulfillment is known only to the Father. Why is it good that he ascends? Huh? And the image there is almost something out of like some superhero movie, huh? That he's lifted up, his power over truly all of earth, he's lifted up into the presence of God. One of the reasons, there's many others, but just two this morning. The first, Jesus says, if you realize what was understanding, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. Father's not greater than Jesus as the Son of God and his divinity. They're equal and they're both fully God. Now, Jesus is very clearly saying he's greater than me and my humanity. And Jesus has not yet taken his humanity, that flesh that he received from the Virgin Mother, into heaven, into God's presence in this full way. And he's doing that for us, for you, for me. That in a very true and real way, you and I have ascended with Jesus and are already at the right hand of the Father. Not fully yet, but that's already taken place. And as well, it's to fulfill what he promises to us. That's why the joy that we're meant to experience, the rejoicing that Jesus talks about, that we pray about in our prayers today, is so clearly connected to hope. It's to say that God's promises to you and I are certain. That's where real hope is found. It's true for each of us personally. It's true for all humanity and all of creation. Think about just in our own lives, thinking particularly what we're going through as a country, and this week yet again, another shooting and killing of all of these children and teachers down in Texas. And things that you're going through in your life or with your family, things we're going through together as a country, things we're going through together as a world. And there can be that same cry, like, how about now, Lord? And rather it's to say, Jesus doesn't show out the whole plan for us. But he's saying, what I'm doing here is better, and it's for our good. And it starts with realizing this truth, this great reality of what Jesus has done in this ascension for us. And that's the hope that we have. Jesus is Lord over all. All authority has been given him. And that's where real hope lies. For us as persons, for you, for me, for our families, for our country, for our world. But Jesus will go on to say as well, if I don't go to the Father and I can't send the Holy Spirit. So he doesn't explain fully why, but he says, I have to return to the Father. Part of that completion of his work of coming to save us, certainly. Why does that matter? Because without the Holy Spirit, we're not only not united with Jesus, but we don't even understand that. That's where the image of power tools comes in. I have a bunch of power tools, but I don't know what they are or how to use them. They're not doing me a lot of good. But if I know what they are and even how to use them, but if I don't have any electricity, they're not doing any good. It's not a perfect image. But Jesus says that the Holy Spirit comes with power. You will receive power. Power to do something in particular. But both aspects are true of the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, we not only don't really know that who Jesus is and what he's done is true, so it's kind of hard for us to really live in that hope. But of course, the Holy Spirit changes us too. As Jesus said, we're not baptized just with water, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes us children of God. As the Holy Spirit was involved in bringing us into existence, so also he's involved in making us sharers in God's nature, uniting us with Jesus. But it's that sense of we need the Holy Spirit. And it truly is when the Holy Spirit's at work, he's the one who helps us to know that not only that Jesus ascended into heaven, but what that means. And then that hope leads to rejoicing. Not fully here. That's heaven. But even in the midst of the trials and the uncertainties and the sufferings, the injustices, see, we don't lose sight of that greater truth, that greater reality. But it's also the case that the Holy Spirit gives us power. Why? What's the power for? Once you learn about the power tools, you understand what they're used for. Huh? You don't use a table saw to try and sand, and you don't use a router to try and nail something to a wall. You know that each of them has kind of its own purpose. And Jesus makes clear, among other things, that we see this now through the history of the church, of course. One of the reasons the Spirit comes in power and what he's doing for us and the gifts he's given us is to share Jesus' work, to be witnesses. That in a not dissimilar way, as the Holy Spirit is the one who testifies to you and I that Jesus is true and is Lord and what that all means, we're meant to do that too. Everyone else. And the Holy Spirit always has to be at work in their lives as well. But he wants to be at work in our lives, not just for us, but for others. The apostles and the first disciples at Pentecost, and we celebrate that next week, and Ascension and Pentecost are intimately connected. But they knew that Jesus' words were true, like in their daily lives. It was better that Jesus went away so he could send me the Holy Spirit. Even for the apostles who had lived with Jesus for 3 years and been a part of his ministry and gone through his death and resurrection, it still took the Holy Spirit to, you might say, take it to the other level and help them to realize and all that Jesus did, and as well to live it out in this new way. It's a great opportunity for ourselves, for you personally before the Lord. Can you say that? I know there's areas of my life still where there's a lot more that the Holy Spirit can do and wants to do. But each of us should be able to say, it's good that Jesus went to the Father because he's given me the Holy Spirit. And I know that my life is not just better, but transformed. And it's without him, I would have nothing and I would have no hope. If you're like me, you were baptized as a baby, huh? I don't remember that moment. And in some ways, I can't remember a moment before my baptism without that. And yet we're meant to grow. And it can be the case that sometimes we really have to, the Holy Spirit needs to teach us, he wants to teach us, but to understand who Jesus is and all that it means. Almost like understanding what these power tools are and how to use them. But sometimes it's to realize part of my life is kind of, I've been unplugged. Holy Spirit isn't electricity, he's not some faceless, impersonal power. He's life itself, and comes with power. We should be able to say that. Can I say that? That's why these days in particular, what does Jesus tell them to do? To pray, to wait. In another place, Jesus particularly says, God who is good knows how to give good gifts. You know, he says, if we who are wicked know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will Father who is good give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Sometimes it's just in those areas of our life where we see basically our hope was placed in something other than Jesus. We're all going to face situations in our life where there's uncertainty, where there's distress, where there's sufferings, where there's wrongdoing, where we might feel confused or powerless, where we might begin to experience fear or anxiety or anger or frustration. Those are moments and opportunities to open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not confused. He's not powerless. As we all know, Jesus again and again, don't be afraid, don't be anxious. How often those things come about, not always because we realize it, but because our hope is in something else. In the midst of distress and in the midst of it not being in our control and us not knowing the full picture, we want to turn to the Lord and the Holy Spirit instead of to anyone or anything else. That's our starting point. That's our second reading. It talks too, certainly, about Jesus bringing his humanity into the presence of the Father for our salvation. But he says, let's approach with a sincere heart and an absolute trust. An absolute trust. Some of the signs that the Holy Spirit is at work is at times he convicts us of sin, not to condemn us, but to heal us. Because that always leads to a growing freedom from sin. And even in areas where we recognize our sin and there's still patterns of sin, it's the Holy Spirit who encourages us that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and his mercy. We have that absolute trust in him. When the Holy Spirit's at work, he enlivens and strengthens our hearts, draws us to Jesus in the scriptures, in the sacraments, certainly in caring and loving for one another, especially those in need. At times the Holy Spirit, he's so much at work helping us to persevere in that. But he also gives us those gifts to witness. Sometimes they're extraordinary gifts. The very gifts that Jesus used in his ministry. Things like miracles and healings and deeds of power and words. And we see that in the lives of saints. But let's not think that it's just relegated to men and women in the past whom we've never met. And those are gifts that God gives, the Holy Spirit gives to all of us, all of Jesus' disciples. You don't have anything inherently connected to being a priest or religious. To be able to grow and use those gifts is how often connected in us growing and abiding in Jesus and holiness. God has given you gifts. You've got power tools. And they're meant to help others come to know Jesus and be saved and healed. And bring that hope to others. They would come to know, what are my gifts? And to use them. And know when we use those gifts as they're meant to be used, they always bring joy. Bring the fruits of the Spirit. Let's ask God for that grace. Jesus is present. The Holy Spirit is present. To be able to see the hope of what Jesus has done for us in the ascension. It was good that Jesus ascended to the Father. It was good for you. It's the Holy Spirit helps you to know that that's true. And the Holy Spirit has been given to you, among other things, to help you to use his gifts. To share in Jesus' work. It's good that Jesus went away so you could have the Holy Spirit. You know that's true. Let's thank God for all the ways that we do know that's true. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to increase his gifts, his presence, our abiding in Jesus with us. Because more than anything, that's always the starting point, to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. And so we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit they may be truly wise and ever enjoy their consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's stand together and profess what we believe.